Grace to you all and peace from God and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who are some reliable messengers in your life? And how do you know they're reliable? Is it just whoever tells you what you want to hear? Acts, the book of Acts, is the story of the early church. It's the story of the story, the gospel, the news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus spreading from person to person through retelling after retelling in Jerusalem, beyond Jerusalem, throughout Israel, and to the world beyond. How did that happen? Why did people believe this story? When I was young, one of my favorite book series was C.S. Lewis's collection of stories about Narnia. And now Disney has made a couple of them into movies, so I'm hoping this reference still has some current value. Depending on the order in which you read the books, the adventure starts when four brothers and sisters, the Pevensey kids, are sent out to the countryside to escape London that's being bombarded by the Germans during World War II. They'll be staying with a distant relative, the mysterious professor, whose house is full of staircases and hallways and curious rooms and even a suit of armor. In one of these rooms, the youngest sister, Lucy, finds an old wardrobe, a big piece of furniture that could substitute for a closet. They're playing hide and seek, so she ducks inside and hides behind the hanging coats. She tries to scooch back, and she realizes there is no back, and finds herself, in fact, walking through pine trees, snow crunching underfoot, and the cold air kissing her cheeks. She has passed into the magical land of Narnia. After a brief adventure in that place, she finds her way back into our world and rushes to tell her siblings, who of course don't believe her. She's the youngest. This must be make-believe, they think. It's later that her next oldest sibling, her brother Edmund, sees her going back into the wardrobe and follows her. Now, he wants to tease her, but he quickly discovers she was telling the truth. He's in Narnia too. Lucy is delighted. They rush back. They're going to have to believe her now, and then all of her siblings can share in this wonderful adventure. Except when it's Edmund's turn to verify her story, he does something horrid. He lies. Oh, we were just playing make-believe. Lucy's a little kid, so I guess her imagination ran away with her. Lucy is understandably devastated by the betrayal. After days of hurt feelings, the two older siblings go to this mysterious professor for advice. How can they snap Lucy out of this game she's playing? But the professor flips the script on him. He asks them, of the two, Edmund or Lucy, who is usually more truthful? They say, well, until this, we'd say Lucy every time. And the professor says, well then, logically, you might try believing her, even though her story seems so unbelievable. One bit of wisdom this story might be sharing with us then is, believe good faith people, even if you're not inclined to believe their message. And disbelieve bad faith people, even if they're telling you something you might want to hear. But is this how the gospel spread in the early church? Were the messengers just so trustworthy inherently? Did the proclamation always depend on strong personal connections? I don't think so. And this story in Acts is an example. In our reading today, we heard the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. There's no need to go into the eunuchy details, especially since the kids aren't in Sunday school yet, but know this. These people were frequently entrusted with important jobs in service to important people. This particular man is in charge of the Ethiopian queen's treasury. He'd been in Jerusalem for worship, but as a eunuch, he might not have been permitted to participate in the temple life, according to Deuteronomic law. And now he's making the long, long trip, returning to East Africa. As a man of some power and station, he won't be traveling by foot. No, he's in a chariot, and that gives him an opportunity to read. Another indication of his class at that time. As he's reading, Philip, this strange man, interrupts him. Do you understand what you're reading there? What is he reading? The words of the prophet Isaiah. Specifically, he's reading part of the Song of the Suffering Servant from Isaiah 53. That's worth a Google. These are contested words. To many, they might have referred to the nation of Israel collectively, to God's chosen people, but to others, to the small community of Jesus followers within Judaism, these words are clear and prophetic references to the life and person of Jesus, whom they call Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of God. Philip is one of those people. And so he asks the Ethiopian if he understands what he's reading, and the Ethiopian humbly, I suppose, says, "No, how can I if no one teaches me?" So Philip seizes the opportunity, for which the Spirit, we find out, has been preparing him, and tells the story of Jesus. The Ethiopian is instantly moved and asks, "Is anything stopping me from being baptized into this faith?" Philip answers, "Absolutely nothing." And he baptizes him on the spot. But why? Why did the Ethiopian accept Philip's interpretation? Why did he trust him? He's just journeyed across half a continent to participate in proper Jewish worship in Jerusalem. And Philip can't have been selling what he's inclined to buy. And unlike Lucy, Philip doesn't have the benefit of a close relationship or a track record of trustworthiness. Instead, there's something divine going on here. It's a holy occasion that these two should meet. First, an angel tells Philip to head out to this road. And what is this road? It's a wilderness road. It's far from the population centers, a distant and dangerous place, the kind of place a good Samaritan might find someone bloodied and beaten on the side of the road. And then the Holy Spirit tells Philip to intercept a chariot in this place. I have to imagine the people in that chariot must have gripped the reins a little tighter when they saw a strange man approaching them out there. God, though, through the activity of the Holy Spirit, was sending Philip to this earnest and open Ethiopian at the opportune moment for him to receive the gospel. Why does the Ethiopian trust Philip? Because God is at work in that moment. When it comes to the gospel, the message is stronger than the messenger, always. You know how I know that's true? One example, look at who's in your pulpit today. So I have to ask, who are the trustworthy messengers God has placed in your path? And in whose path have you been placed? And what will you offer? You, like Philip, have a precious and comforting and transformative gift to share. So go. And whatever path you're on, bring the love of God with you, that this world might be a little bit more like the kingdom of heaven. Amen.